Well, good morning and welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this rainy Monday. It is 12 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock on this, the 24th of July. Very nice to have you with us, as it always is. I hope you had a delightful weekend. It seems like it was a perfect weekend just to do stuff and to get out and to enjoy summer's offerings in our region. So hopefully you got to do some of that. Did you?
I'm so scared of ticks these days that, you know, I cover myself, slather myself with all this tick stuff, you know, from head to foot.
are there a lot of ticks at, like, Barrington Stage? Like, well, I don't know.
I love to garden.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm telling you that they're, everybody I know is on doxycycline.
It's true.
Life is a risk. Just go garden.
Yeah, no.
Just layer and garden.
That layer and garden, and one other thing.
Pair of pants, pair of socks over it.
Yes, I agree, and it's really very depressing, I must say, but one other thing. Layer, garden, wear pants, I do that, tuck them into your socks, right?
Yeah.
And then finally hire somebody else to do it.
Well, there you go. That has been my MO for a long time.
So they can be happy gardening.
That's their... Yeah.
Do you still have your tick pants?
My tick
pants. Your children gave you tick pants.
Oh, yeah. They gave me tick pants.
Yeah.
But it's a pain in the you-know-what because you have to take your – there are separate shoes things. You have to take the shoes off and then put the tick over – the tick socks over your tick socks. And then, you know, I mean, I haven't got time for that.
No, it's a very – it sounds like a very complicated wardrobe.
I'll have plenty of time for doxycycline.
Take that over the pair of pants.
So you're spending days and days worrying, but you can spend moments putting your tick pants on. And...
Yeah, well, no, that's true. That's absolutely true. So
it's a little investment of time takes away.
Oh, you are so wise,
yeah,
so wise.
Yeah,
oh,
but,
wise cracker.
There's a point.
Yeah.
All right, let me introduce everybody. Alan Chartok is here.
Yeah.
Sans tick pants. He has pants on, just
and
not
almost,
tick pants.
And,
really
almost, and almost a year older.
We're not quite there yet, right?
No.
Yeah, but like almost.
September, October, November.
No. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
oh.
Yeah.
I thought maybe he started early.
No, he's the 25th.
Wow.
And then you'll announce your age tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm not scared.
Of tick.
Teresa Bourgeois is with us. She is a communications consultant, and we are thrilled when she joins us, which is... 3 out of the 5 days of the week that we meet, so thank you very much for being here.
So glad to be here, and I had a lovely family reunion over the weekend and found out that we have many family reunion listeners.
What'd they say? What'd they say?
They said, boy, Alan is wise. Alan's always right. And is Joe and, as and nice one, as he sounds? That's what a couple people said. Is Joe as nice as he sounds? I said he's nicer.
Mm, yeah. Mm, mm. And did anybody say, well, you should slap Alan?
Not one person told me to slap you, no.
Not physically at any rate.
No, slap?
Metaphorically, perhaps.
No.
Body slam, maybe. But
there was no suggestion of slapping. Maybe next year.
Libby Postis, our communications consultant, joins us each and every Monday, and we're thrilled to have her here today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Very nice. Did you do anything fun? Are you?
Well, I want to, along with Alan's erstwhile birthday wishes, my aunt, the lone surviving aunt on my father's side, turned 99 on Saturday.
Wow.
Yes,
hanging in Florida.
That's right, which is in Florida. They had a big party. We sent flowers and everything. And I, on the other side of my family, met my first cousin really for the first time.
Oh boy. Were there tears in people's
it
eyes?
It was, no, but it was really very nice. And I think we'll have a relationship now where, you know, I hadn't seen him since I was 4, so I have no recollection whatsoever.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
it was great.
Family is family. So, hey, Ed and Terry, who are listening in Lee, Massachusetts.
Oh, nice.
Shout out.
Very cool. Well, we hope you had a great weekend, as I said, and if you would like to join us, because we're about to ruin it, we're going to talk about what happened over the weekend.
Right. Wow.
We're going to talk about news for a minute.
Other people's weekend.
Yes, we're going to talk about what happened over the weekend for other folks. But we welcome your letters panel at WAMC.org. Remember, keep them short, no links, and don't use abbreviations. Make it easy for us to read.
And the one person who didn't tell us what he did over the weekend was you.
My
brother was here Friday. My brother was in the studio.
Great guy.
And that's all he talked about.
Great guy.
Thank you. He and his friends were here, and they had a blast. and watching the show. And then they went up to the track, and that was fun. And then we just had a family weekend. We did a lot. We went around, did a lot of Berkshire stuff. We were in your neck of the woods.
Where'd
quite
you go?
A bit. We went to the Rockwell Museum and saw the Warhol exhibit. We saw went to a rehearsal for at Tanglewood for the Tchaikovsky piano. Was that Tchaikovsky piano concerto? I don't know. It was yesterday's program, whatever that was.
Well, yeah, right.
And it was beautiful.
Is there anything better than being out on that beautiful lawn?
No, there really wasn't. And we had just a lovely time. And I saw a play yesterday with your neighbor, Jane Atkinson.
Isn't she
wonderful?
Our
dear friend, Jessica Hecht, who also lives in our region.
You did a terrific interview with her.
Thank you. They're just so much fun. But their play, The Clean Room, which is at Williamstown, is just phenomenal. It is hilarious. It has a lot to say and makes beautiful points and really is quite stunning. So if you get a chance to see that, it's
well, if you were listening on Friday, you were listening to a lot about that play. You had the author on as well as for
the director.
The director,
who was the seventh woman in the history of the Tonys to win Best Tony.
Wow.
And she won for Indecent, the Paula Vogel play. So,
ah,
very cool. Anyway, let's move on to what's happening in the world. We'll take a quick break, actually, so we'll make everybody happy in underwriting. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll get started on the issues of the day. We have Jared Kushner news breaking in hours ago. We'll talk about that right after this. One of the most frustrating things about doing this show is that you do it live, and then when you get done, then something breaks. So we missed the whole—we didn't even get to talk about the Sean Spicer story of the resignation and our new—and the shakeup there. So we'll get to that a little bit later, but it is fun. It's interesting to talk about.
It's like the gang who couldn't shoot straight.
Yeah. Well, and then—
They're putting all those judges in place. Mm-hmm. They're shooting straight there.
Well— And we'll get to that story in a moment, but it is interesting because there were sort of dual messages coming out of different sides of that communications department yesterday.
Holy moly. We'll
talk about that. Jared Kushner, President Trump's senior advisor and son-in-law, plans to detail four meetings that he had with Russian officials during the 2016 campaign and transition period, including one set up by Donald Trump Jr. with a Russian lawyer, but will deny any improper contacts or collusion in testimony to a congressional panel that is taking place in mere moments. I believe he is. I believe he's walking in pretty much as we speak. Kushner defends his interactions with the Russian ambassador and other Russian officials as typical contacts in his role as the Trump campaign's liaison to foreign governments, according to an 11-page prepared statement that he plans to submit for the record, a copy of which was obtained by The Washington Post. Kushner is scheduled to testify in closed-door sessions, first before the Senate Intelligence Committee today, then before the House Intelligence Committee tomorrow as part of the congressional probes into Russian interference in the 2016 election and contacts between Russia and Trump campaign officials and associates. Any surprises here?
Yeah, here's my surprise. None. Here's my no surprise. Look, this is disgusting. Instead of making the guy get up in front of the American people,
that's right.
You know, what do we have here? We don't have mixed government. We have a Republican House. We have a Republican Senate. We have a Republican president. These guys are looking for any way out to save their own skins. So they make a really bad deal. You come in and talk to our staff, and you don't even have to do it under oath. And that way we can be seen as doing our job. Now, look, there are Democrats like Adam Schiff, who are on those committees and who will ask with the limited time they'll be allowed questions. But in fact, it is a disgrace that they're doing it under these circumstances.
So here's what 9 minutes ago Donald Trump tweeted about Adam Schiff. Sleazy Adam Schiff, the totally biased congressman, looks into Russia, spends all of his time on television pushing the damn loss excuse.
Yeah.
Attacking the... that's the president of the United States.
Yeah. Right. I mean, this is a man who has no moral center and will just attack because that's his modus operandi. That's all he knows how
and
to do.
It got
and
him elected president of the
no
United
kidding.
States.
No kidding. I know. It's amazing.
And it's certainly not, I mean, it's not, it's even members of his own administration
yes.
that he
Oh,
will.
He goes after anybody. I mean, he went after the Republicans, you know, the story we read
and
about,
after Sessions.
You know, the Republicans control all three branches of government and they can't get anything done because they're all this internecine fighting amongst themselves. That's what happens when you have a really big tent, like they said they do, and everybody's fighting. And, you know, he's just, it's sort of like Keystone Cops and the gang that couldn't shoot straight. Yes, they're getting some things done through regulation, and they're trying to get the judges put in place.
127.
Well, they're getting some things done,
yeah,
all right, but
they're
evil.
But that's right. They're
getting
evil things.
That Bannon sitting in the corner room getting a lot done. Staying out of the limelight and getting a lot done.
He's doing a lot. And it's just going to be up to us to continue to resist. I mean, that's really all there is here, folks. There's what's going on there, and then there's the 2018 elections. And we really have to do our job.
Jared Kushner writes in a statement, "I did not collude nor know of anyone else in the campaign who colluded with any foreign government. I had no improper contacts. I have not relied on Russian funds to finance my business activities in the private sector." So he's denying everything in that statement.
That can all be parsed many ways. "I did not rely" could mean, well, I had other money too, I wasn't relying on that. He could be saying that. Look, this guy is a well-known liar, right? He's a liar because he didn't write.
Are you talking about the president or Kushner or both?
No, both. But I'm talking about Kushner right now. Remember, he had to amend all of his sworn submissions, and so that makes him a liar by omission.
How many times can you change? I mean, those of us who would ever do anything like this, or we do our taxes and we do this and we do that, we're scared to have to go back and amend that stuff because it would cast a light. And these people have no compunction and no, they're fine with doing all of that.
They are above the law.
They are. They do think themselves above the law. And the last thing that should have been on his statement is, "And I have a bridge I'd like to sell you." Because it's all lies.
Well, we don't know that it's all lies. Yeah. We do know that he has been caught with his philosophical pants down a number of times.
Metaphorical. Not philosophical, metaphorical.
Well, no, philosophical would be, dare I put my pants down or not?
Oh, I see.
That's a philosophy.
It's a great question. Yeah. Okay, fine.
Don't you see?
Yeah, yes.
I actually got that. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I'm just missed the whole thing. So clearly, disclosure forms are complicated, right? But it's not that
he... blamed it on staff, by the way.
It's not that he didn't... He made some mistakes on the disclosure form of things that might have been innocuous.
Forms.
It's that they were... Russia issue has been at the top of the agenda for a long time. Why would he not report these meetings? Why would he not disclose these meetings? Number one. Number two, he met with the Russians. Okay, disclose that. But the oddest thing to me is meeting with the Russians to set up this back channel communications.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As somebody said on the pundit this morning, if he wanted to know how to set up a back channel, why wouldn't you go to your own, to the CIA or to the Justice Department or anybody else? Why do you go to the Russians? And then, of course, the problem with these folks is their financial ties. He certainly has deep financial ties to Russia with his real estate holdings, you know, and so.
Well, he says he doesn't. Or he doesn't rely. That is open to a lot of investigation. And if it turns out that he's not telling the truth,
that the Russians haven't financed his buildings in New York? No one disagrees with that, right? I mean, that's...
Well, what was the statement? What did he say, Joe, here that I have?
The statement made, but while I find this, the point meaning that I did it, well, here it
is. I have not colluded.
I did not collude nor know of anyone else in the campaign who colluded with any foreign government. I had no improper contacts. I have not relied on Russian funds to finance my business activities in the private sector.
You look puzzled.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
You look puzzled. Now, we do know that he is deeply, deeply, deeply in debt on 666 Fifth Avenue. They paid far too much money, and he owes, I believe, I'm correct in this, in excess of $1 billion
it's a lot
on that building. And that he has been looking for a loan for that. So that's a possibility.
I'm interested in what you said, though, of parsing these statements, because if you say I've not relied on Russian funds,
right,
meaning I haven't not used Russian funds, I just didn't rely on them.
Or didn't I didn't do anything in exchange. See, I understood that to mean I didn't do anything in exchange for money.
Yeah.
But so what do you make of the fact that Sergei Kislyak, the Russian ambassador, is being called back this week? They announced it a few weeks ago.
Well, yeah, no. They said get him out of there. I think he's back in Moscow already.
Well, let's see if he's going to be alive by the end of the month.
They're not going to bring him to testify. That is for sure. You know, before that Congress, because he could straighten it all out. But But he is not gonna. He's not going back.
He's obviously done a good job for them. Right?
Kushner does deny having. We have to go to a break here, but Kushner denies having any having had any other contact with Kislyak during the campaign, disputing a report by Reuters that he had two phone calls with the ambassador. So,
well, this stuff keeps on giving. It's like, you know, syphilis. It just never
gives
up.
It's the gift that keeps on giving. That's right.
Well, on the syphilis note, we'll take a break and we'll be right back. It's fun during the breaks. We can catch up on the president's tweet storm. In the last, I would say, 16 minutes, he has called Jeff Sessions beleaguered. He has called Congressman sleazy and has said to Republicans that this is your last chance on health care. So, a lot going through his head this morning.
Well, let's just take the Sessions one for a second. That's preparatory to firing him. So beleaguered, you fire him, and then, you know, you get down to Mueller at some point. You may have to fire Rosenstein also. And then you get what you want, which is to fire Mueller.
I agree with you, but I'm just wondering if for the optics that at some point beleaguered also turns into Sessions just saying, okay, I give up. And I walk out, much like Spicer did. You resign?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
I don't think
now
so.
Remember what motivated Spicer to walk out was coming in the new guy coming in.
Scaramucci,
otherwise known as the Mooch.
Well, also Queen and Bohemian Rhapsody. There's all the stuff going on online using his name. You can say some words to Siri on your iPhone, and it'll give you all the words to Bohemian Rhapsody. It's
well, you know what? If I were him, I would have gotten 6 months, is long enough to write the book, but not so long that he's going to end up with a lot of legal fees. And
yeah,
such.
But that book is, you know, he's going to...
What's he going to write?
Yeah, he's going to be disgraceful. I mean, he's going to... Trump is a great guy.
He's going to be an apologist, just like they all are.
Sure. Okay. Mm. You want some of these letters or not?
Absolutely, I do.
Okay. KT says, would the special counsel be able to see Trump's taxes? It seems to me it may answer a lot of questions. I don't think there's any doubt that the special counsel will have access to those.
And
those
the president
he might
hinted at
have
that
it.
Yeah. In the Times article of Don't Come Close to Me or My Family.
Yeah.
And that was certainly what it seemed that he was worried about.
The reason I say he will have access, and I've said it on this air before, is that federal prosecutors prosecute people for tax evasion all the time. They have access to anything that they want. What? Are you laughing?
I'm not. I am laughing, but not at what you're saying.
Laughing till you're crying.
I love Merriam-Webster. I don't know who does their Twitter feed, but it's so funny. They have words of the day or words of the moment. So their word of the moment is haphazard, marked by a lack of plan or order.
Oh, that's
I just think that is the word of the day
that
for the
is
administration.
So far, and for many days, but yes.
Sorry.
And Anne says, boycotting Israel, can you address the recent bipartisan move by some governors and members of Congress to support a bill making it a felony with heavy fines for Americans to express support of boycotting Israel in light of their stance towards Palestinians? This seems to be a plan composed by an Israeli lobbying group. Representative Sean Patrick Maloney faced very vocal criticism of support for this proposal during his town hall meeting in Beacon yesterday, and that's from Anne. Well, we would have to study that.
Yeah, regardless of your view on Israel, that would be what.
Well, we would have to study this. This is always a contentious subject. I worked for a congressman who made it plain to me, and this is a long time ago, that Israel was a friend of the United States, and that there were very few people who thought that the Arabs were. And I'm not endorsing that. I'm just simply saying this is common political wisdom that you do that. Anyway, Mike says, talk about being on the horns of a dilemma. Whom do you believe? Do you believe Jeff Sessions, whose credibility has been shattered by these revelations, or Sergei Kislyak, whose dispatch was intercepted by the NSA? Kind of sad when the Russians might have more credibility than the American. That's Mike from Glens Falls, or as we say around here, Glen Falls. Okay, and anyway, from Michael, trying to set up a private line of contact via the Russian embassy is not improper conduct? Question mark. Yeah, no, it seems to me that it is improper conduct. And the idea that, as was it somebody on the panel this morning said, you know, wait a second now, you know, you couldn't have turned around to a subordinate and said set up a separate line? But of course, they're afraid of leaks at this stage of the game. So they thought that was a very clever way. You know, these guys came in, they were so arrogant. I've seen this so many times in politics. We can do anything. We're the president now. I've seen it with governors here in New York State. I've seen it with others. They come in and they say, off with everybody's heads. It doesn't matter. We're the governor. Nobody can do anything to us. And then they're always surprised.
Yeah, when they certainly are, aren't they?
Yeah. So anyway, thank you, Michael. And from Mary, this is a family who is used to doing things behind closed doors and getting what they want. They don't like anyone looking or determining whether or not their actions are ethical. Spoiled children need to learn how to behave. Best wishes to all of you from Mary. And her title for her missile here is Beyond Gross. And Bob says, no worry. Alan, love you on the panel, but stop living in fear, man. I don't know if that has to do with the ticks or the political situation.
I was just looking at that. I think given the timing of the message that it was the ticks.
The ticks, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I think
those
it could be go both ways.
Those
actually.
Ticks really tick me off. Again on ticks, Alan, wear permethrin treated clothing. Then when returning from your hike, what hike? Put your clothing in the dryer for
hiking Alan. Yes.
For 10 minutes. Then take a shower. The ticks hate that, and I do all of that. I do all of that. I
thought he wanted you to go in the dryer.
Yeah, well, it's tough in there. Yeah. But yeah, I don't like it in. I don't like it in there either.
You know, it hurts.
No,
around,
I do. I do my
around.
4 mile walk, if that's what he means by a hike.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't do it in the woods. What am I, crazy?
So
is that a rhetorical question, or do you actually want an answer?
I want an answer. Darn it! This
like
is,
a fox.
This is it, Libby.
Like a fox.
Bissell, a little, just a Bissell.
We welcome your letters of panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. So we were talking about the muddled messaging of yesterday's talk shows. This from the Washington Post. If President Trump was hoping his communication shakeup would bring a fresh approach for a White House that has struggled to respond to a constant state of turmoil, the debut of the team on the Sunday political talk shows was a rough one. Adding to the confusion, one of Trump's lawyers appeared to contradict his news spokesman on whether Trump has been discussing his power to issue presidential pardons.
Oh, come on. What a lie.
Trump's top communication aides set out to try to present a united front 2 days after the president added Anthony Scaramucci as communications director and promoted Sarah Huckabee Sanders to press secretary after Sean Spicer resigned unexpectedly. Well, he resigned unexpectedly because Scaramucci was hired. But okay.
Unexpectedly.
Yes. Trump has fumed for months over the FBI probe into his campaign's contacts with Russia, angered that the nonstop media coverage has overshadowed his achievements and has stalled his agenda. But the key spokesman appeared to be operating from different playbooks featured on competing shows. Sanders and Scaramucci contradicted one another on the Russia sanctions bill that congressional leaders announced over the weekend.
Now, Scaramucci, Joe, said that he had talked about the pardoning with the president, for example. And then, of course, they were all saying, some of them were saying, he's never discussed pardoning. He's never even thought about pardoning.
He just tweeted it out, but that doesn't mean he's thinking about anything.
Well, on the Russian sanctions bill, of course, the Senate passed the sanctions bill 97-2, I believe, with one person absent.
Yeah.
And it's been stalled in the House now for a while. And so when Sarah Huckabee Sanders, right? She announced on, I guess it was at ABC this week? Yeah.
Yes.
She announced that they now support it. That's big news, mm-hmm. because that's a major shift, because by all indications, the White House was really trying to slow the House down in passing this bill. So for then Scaramucci to go on a different program at almost the same time and say no decision has been made yet, that sends a very confusing signal. And you would have thought on something that important that they, you know, they're not going to get everything right all the time. You don't want to be accused of nitpicking. But on a fundamental shift in policy like that, you'd think that they would be on the same page.
The House is scheduled to consider the sanctions package as early as tomorrow. The bill could be sent to Trump before Congress breaks for the August recess. The legislation is aimed at punishing Moscow for meddling in the presidential election and its military aggression in Ukraine and Syria. But how do you do that and then keep on saying that we don't know and we have no evidence, which is what the president has been saying up until yesterday, that he still doesn't believe that it was Russia?
Look, Joe, it's really simple, I think. I'm maybe not to you guys, but it looks simple to me in that he hated this bill. He said he hated this bill. And it was in the Senate, and the Senate said, basically, go away. We don't care that this is American. Americans don't like the Russians. We all know what they're up to, and therefore we are going to hold our noses, even the Republicans, and we are going to vote for this thing. We know you hate it. Too bad. Then you go to the House, where you know Speaker Ryan is nothing if not an apologist for the president and an acolyte of the president's. And he's holding it back, and it's clear he's not going to let any such bill go easily into the House of Representatives. And then there's so much pressure on the guy that he has to change his mind. And they make it a little bit more palatable. They put the North Koreans in and a couple of other countries, Iran in. But basically, it is a tremendous rebuke to the White House. Now you're sitting around in the West Wing or wherever they sit around, and they're looking at each other and say, what do we do? Hey, boss, what do we do? There is no way out of this. They're going to pass it in the House. And we can either say, okay, this is ours, or we can say, this isn't ours. And we have to say it's ours, even though they clearly hate it.
Yeah, separate from the murkiness about the back and forth over the weekend, I think the notion that with a Republican president in the White House, that the Republican Congress feels compelled to do something that Congress doesn't often do, which is codify sanctions against, it's usually at the discretion of the president, you know, in conversation with the Congress. But to actually pass a law to codify these sanctions is something that they don't do lightly. They do it very rarely.
So it's a tremendous rebuke, right?
Right. So this is an incredible rebuke. Exactly. I'm reinforcing what you're saying, Alan. And this notion that the Congress, a Republican Congress, is so concerned about the president not acting on the Russian sanctions, economic sanctions, that they feel that they have to pass a law is quite something. And it looks like they're going to do it. Now, what the White House said in clarifying language last night is, well, what we really want to do is make sure we see the final language and make sure it also has provisions with having to do with North Korea and Iran, and we're looking at some details. But nevertheless, it appears that he's going to sign this, and this is highly irregular and important. Good that they're doing it.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We have some more letters. We welcome yours. Panel at WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable Panel. Alan Chartok, Teresa Bourgeois, Libby Post. I'm Joe Donahue. And your letters, panel at WAMC.org, is where you can write to us. Panel at WAMC.org. And Alan will read from some of those letters right now.
I will. Good morning, panel.
Good morning.
And this is about Israel. With all respect, I do love the program regarding the letter about the Israeli-Palestinian matter of boycott, divestment, sanctions. Alan, the panel. Stifle yourselves. Did I say that to you guys? Did I say stifle yourselves?
No, that was Archie Bunker who said that.
Is this really such a hot-button third real issue that there can be no discussion, and capital letters, no discussion? We discussed it. We did discuss it. Take it back. Among your very intelligent panel members, Then from Richard, recently there has been talk about the possibility of President Trump pardoning himself if he should find this necessary. Has any U.S. president ever pardoned himself or attempted to do so in the past? Richard, I love history, and I don't know of any other example. Does anybody else here?
I don't think that there's ever been, other than Nixon, in modern times, there's ever been any other president who's done something so
well,
egregious.
Andrew Johnson was
but impeached. I'm talking modern times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Nixon just resigned because
he saw it coming.
That's right.
But even in the text or in the tweet over the weekend where he said, you know, everyone agrees that I can pardon myself.
No,
and anybody
true.
Okay, but even to bring that up
yeah.
as, oh, you know, I can do whatever I want, so I can certainly.
But this is a man whose ego drives everything, and he thinks he can control everything that happens. And
my
that
question
he
is,
has
isn't
the
that an admission of guilt when you're saying that? Oh yes, I just want you to know.
Of course it is. Of course it is. It's an admission of guilt for his entire family if he's saying I'm gonna yeah. pardon my family.
Well, he's not
and
saying
myself.
I'm going to. He's saying I could.
No, Joe, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. They've got a big problem here by mm-hmm. even discussing it. By even discussing it, they're acknowledging that they may have done something bad enough to need to pardon themselves for this. And
that's
and
why
knowing Trump. Let me just finish this one thought. And knowing Trump the way we know him. He doesn't give a damn about norms, about what has happened in the past. The only thing he says is it legal? Can I do it? And if I can, I will. And then it's going to end up before the Supreme Court of the United States. And then we're going to have to see what happens to the Republican appointees on the courts. And, you know, we've seen this already. We saw it in Watergate when the question of production of the tapes came up. So I have a feeling that you got to put your marbles on the court in a case like that.
So, I mean, I think the reason why Scaramucci said we never talked about pardons is exactly that point. So that he's covering for the president to say he never really talked about it, so he's not admitting anything.
Well, that's the line.
Yeah.
That's the line they're
yes,
putting out.
Yes, that's the communication.
They're sitting
line
around and they're saying, how do we play this thing? And there's a lot of confusion. The only thing is that you know, in the Franklin Roosevelt days, he would say to the guy with the press ticket in his hat, this is what our message is going to be, and that was the message. Now you got all these rival players coming up with their own views and often contradicted by the president. I'm sorry, Teresa, you wanted to say something?
No, I was on pardons. I was thinking. Well, what I thought was interesting is on Saturday when he was tweeting about pardons, he then went to dedicate the USS Gerald Ford new battleship.
So that's a riot.
I thought that was
because
just a
it's
funny
what cost Gerald Ford the presidency,
from not being
that's
a president,
right. pardoning Nixon.
And I also, as an aside, I was hoping, and of course he did not take the opportunity to apologize to John McCain while he was there at that dedication. But
did you think, by the way, that it's an off subject, but does anybody on this panel think that Gerald Ford should not have pardoned Nixon?
I don't think he should have, no.
I absolutely think he should have. I thought that he knew it would cost him the election, but the country needed to move on, and I think it's a good thing that he did.
And he did it because...
So the country could move on.
Yeah, and also because I think it was his only way of getting Nixon out of there. I think that was probably the negotiation. Who knows?
Yeah, I think it would have been a long legal battle. The country was weary, and Gerald Ford gave up his future of winning a re-election by doing that.
It's interesting because every once in a while you do see a profile in courage, like Lyndon Johnson when he passed the Voting Rights Act, right. Saying, there goes the South. He knew it.
He knew it.
But he knew what was right.
It was the right thing to do.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that I do think Ford knew he would never, couldn't win an election by doing that, but did the right thing. But on the pardon thing, I mean, it's so odd because you could, as a part of a legal process, have an understanding of all the different things and just innocently say, okay, can you tell me what the rules are around pardoning?
Yeah.
But with this guy, he's so chaotic mm-hmm. and he distorts everything and then tweets about it that what in other situations might be a normal question in the course of a preparation in a legal case becomes major issue because you know, talking about pardoning.
But yeah, but it couldn't have been innocent if he said in a tweet, "I have absolute pardoning power." Right. What do you think he meant?
Right. You know, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That you could in theory, you know,
say
as part of a legal case, just the lawyers have to go through. You know, here are the 20 things to consider, and it's their job to tell them everything. But it's not the fact that the questions were asked. It's the fact that he's then made such a big deal of it.
And he tweeted it.
Okay, so I don't know of any president who has ever... The answer to Richard's question is I don't know.
None that I know, but I'm not an expert.
And then the question...
I think it would have come up already. Yes. It would have been
reported.
Somebody
would be talking about it.
Somebody would have...
That, of course, doesn't mean that some president sometime wasn't thinking about that.
No, that's right. I'm sure Nixon thought about it.
But keeping his mouth shut.
Right. Right.
Okay. I mean, but while we're talking about pardons, we're not talking about putting judges in place or the budget that the House proposed last week, or you know, so that he was very effective during the election at distraction, and I think he continues to be effective at distraction.
Well, I think he's personally distracted, right? I mean,
yes.
I think when he watches, there was the case, the Times is an interesting article on this, but on Saturday morning on Fox News, they had a report that said that the New York Times had disclosed intelligence in an article in June 8th about an American military raid in Syria that led to the death of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the leader of the Islamic State, and one of his key lieutenants, and the capture of his wife, who played an important role in the group. President Trump tweeted then, "The failing New York Times foiled U.S. attempt." He watched that. And then 15 minutes later tweeted, "The failing New York Times foiled U.S. attempt to kill the single most wanted terrorist." The president wrote, "Their sick agenda over national security." So then the Times wrote the article this morning how Trump got it wrong in saying that the Times foiled killing of ISIS leader and go into the end of the description.
It.
Yes.
So if you're the
it.
New York Times, are you doing the right thing? I think they are, to answer every accusation. So they say a terrible lie like that, and you could sit there and say, "Well, I'm above this. I'm not going to answer this." But I think they're right to answer it.
They are because it will add fuel to the fire. I mean, it will give people more ammunition to show that this man should not be president and that he's incompetent.
I think the key word in what you just said, Alan, is that it's a really important thing. I mean, you're talking about the. That they were unable to kill an ISIS leader because of the information that the New York Times provided. I mean, it is a damning statement.
Times,
so why would you not?
But
right.
You
now
have
my,
to do
my,
that.
My friend Mario Cuomo used to say all the time, every insult has to be answered.
Right.
Every accusation
but
has
also,
to be answered.
But also, can you imagine that before Trump tweeted, did he contact or have his staff contact his intelligence folks to say, brief me on this?
Or the failing New York Times.
Right. Or and then did they, you know, did anybody... Did he get briefed before he said something public? And Joe, I think what you just said a few moments ago is so critical, is this him being distracted. If you just look at the string of tweets this morning, I mean, he's the president of the United States. He should be very busy on the issues of the world and policy and you know, what's happening with the budget and what's happening with the non-infrastructure proposal or what's happening with healthcare, the details of that or whatever. And instead... His focus, his energy, is on pardons and insulting members of Congress and his own attorney general and such. And that's the, you know, he's supposed to be governing the country.
But
that's the real problem. And people say, oh, Russia, stop talking about Russia. It's giving me a headache.
But you wonder.
But what's the implication?
You have to wonder. Yes, all of this is happening. You have to wonder if Steve Bannon is sitting in a corner somewhere emailing him with his next tweet. That's what I wonder.
No, I don't think
you know,
so.
No,
to like,
I think he's just...
I don't
to
think
just
so.
Because I think Bannon is the architect of all of this, of that's
think,
going on.
I think it's possible.
I think the tweeting comes out of his head, and I think Bannon's in the corner working on what his agenda is, which is packing the courts, which he's been very effective on, and this regulatory changes, which they've also been very effective on.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to... First, we're going to go to news with Ray Graff. When we come back, we have a lot of letters, and we have... other topics to talk about, so we'll get to all of that right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning, 5 minutes past 10 o'clock on Monday, the 24th of July. Alan Chartok, Teresa Bourgeois, and Libby Post make up our panel. We welcome your letters, panel@wamc.org. Alan has a few of those to read, and then we'll move on to some other topics.
Stephen writes, I wistfully remember the days when we thought Kushner would be a good influence on President Electoral College Trump.
I don't remember those days.
I don't remember that either.
But no, I know. Yeah. That's what people were saying, that he would be
a calming influence.
Force, yes. Keep him focused. Yeah. How did he get, and how does he retain his security clearance? I don't understand it.
Well, the question is, who calls off the dogs on that one? In other words, who makes that decision that he can't have the security clearance? Uh-huh. I think it goes to the president
eventually.
Yeah. What'd you say?
McMaster, I think.
Well, he's a cabinet member with the president. You know, the president tells him what to do, I guess. Can you imagine his saying, I'm taking his security clearance away? That'd be his last day on the job.
Well, you know, he loves saying you're fired. That's his tagline, so.
Okay, so Kathy on Sessions. The minute Trump fires Sessions, Sessions has no incentive to keep quiet. In fact, he is now highly motivated to be the one who tells all. That's from Catherine. Okay, James says, keep in mind that Jeff Sessions already offered his resignation to Trump once. I wouldn't be surprised if it happened again. Republicans will defend, saying it's his prerogative to do so. Then the scope is in Mueller. I love that. The scope is in Mueller, having recently gone through that procedure.
Yes,
I
understand.
Right. Yes, okay. And then
I went there too.
Stewart,
what'd you say?
TMI, too much information.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a public service announcement.
I think it's on.
I think it's important to talk about
that. Very prudish.
We don't want to know the results, but we're glad you had the test.
Everything came out well.
I'm sure it did.
We don't want to see the pictures.
Stewart said,
maybe a little.
So what happens if he fires Sessions? Then who becomes the acting attorney general?
Well, they name the acting attorney general. That becomes Rosenstein. And I've been saying for days that they have to.
And he can't stand Rosenstein.
Well, they got to fire Rosenstein, too, to get to Mueller. And if you think this guy won't do all of that, think again.
Who's going to take the AG job?
No one.
Oh, no, you are so wrong. They'll get Bernie Schlumpf from around the corner.
Oh,
they'll
Bernie,
get,
I forgot yeah. about Bernie.
They'll get somebody who will say, you'll say, sure, Mr. President.
Well, kind of like that. Well, I mean, they have to go through confirmation, obviously, what Scaramucci didn't have to do. But there's a lot of people that have been sniffing around for jobs for a long time. So.
Hey, Scaramucci went to Harvard Law School.
Hey, he used
he
to
really
support.
Wanted that job. But a lot of people wouldn't take
he raised money for Obama.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, we do know that that Trump himself gave a lot of money to Democrats over the years, right? Okay. Stewart says, an illegitimate election. Panel, if Mueller's investigation uncovers significant Russian interference that affected the outcome of our presidential election, with or without collusion with anyone in the U.S., then the entire election should be thrown out. You know, and we asked before, can somebody name another time that a president tried to pardon himself? Can somebody name a time or a constitutional provision allows you to throw out a presidential election?
Well, it does raise an interesting...
In the first 6 months, I would like to add.
In the first 6 months.
Yeah.
It raises the interesting question, though, which is next in line is Pence, and how could have all this gone on without Pence knowing?
Mm-hmm.
And so then it makes whoever Pence picks as a... You know, do they both go...
But if you're the Republican, I mean, I'll set up Alan because I've heard him say this, so I just went, which is, but if you're the Republican leadership and you are trying to move on, you protect the guy, right? You protect because you'd much rather work with Pence than you would with Trump.
Well, I do think they would rather see Pence, who is more of a sort of, he's, you know, in many people's minds, he's more dangerous because he's got his stuff a little bit more together. And he's a regular Republican, even though a conservative.
But he'd be doing the business of governing as opposed to watching television.
Well, I think that's right. But then he wouldn't have the credentials of being the bomb thrower that got Trump elected.
But he's equally complicit. And so if the, anyway.
Well, yeah. I mean, to that point, but if it's equally complicit, but what I'm saying is, and I think what Alan has said in the past, is that you'd be less likely to go after him unless, I don't know, unless you're Paul Ryan and you want the gig. I don't know.
Oh, no. Paul Ryan has really hurt himself here, to put it mildly. You know, he didn't want the speakership. He knew it was going to cost him, and it is costing him, I think, any aspirations he might have had to be president of the United States. I think he's done.
But I think
they'll kick him out. By the way, his own colleagues are going to kick him out sooner or later.
I don't think Pence could get elected president.
Well, that's right.
I mean, don't think that would happen.
Well, that's right. But if he takes over,
sure. But I don't think
a la Gerald Ford.
I don't think you could do the keep thing. And if he takes over a la Gerald Ford, he will pardon Donald Trump, and we'll have history repeating itself.
Could be if
Trump hasn't already pardoned himself.
No, could be.
But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. Okay.
And
the
then
end of
tomorrow
the
they're going to pass
so
the health care bill.
And an illegitimate election goes beyond just the president, also says Stewart. How do we begin the conversation to throw out an entire election and schedule a repeat election?
Not the way succession works.
Not going to happen. Okay, Bob says, if Trump wants to dump Sessions so he can get a flunky as AG to fire Mueller, he'll wait until Congress goes on recess. Then he'll make an interim appointment. To prevent this, Congress can do what they did to Obama and not gavel out. This will be an interesting 2 weeks. But Bobby, my old friend, let me tell you, they're not going to do that. They're Republicans in control of both houses. Why in the world would they prevent Trump from doing anything? That's not who they are.
So can I just quickly sure. go back to what Teresa said a moment ago about, meanwhile, tomorrow they're going to pass health care. You think they're going to pass health care tomorrow?
I don't know if they'll pass it, but they're going to vote on it, and they don't know what the bill is. They said there as of yesterday they were still going to bring up a bill and vote on it, and I know a couple of people, like Kaiser, other people say, you know, stay focused here, folks. You know, tomorrow they're going to bring up something.
And that's why Trump is threightening them.
Right.
That's why Trump is threatening
their
voters.
And I'm wondering if that's part of the reason for it. But I think they're going to try to bring up something. And Dave Durenberger, former senator, he has a big piece, a Republican, in USA Today saying, Republicans, don't do this. You know, don't vote on something that you don't know what's in it. So whether or not they vote on the motion to proceed or not. And it's also complicated because, okay, this is way down in the weeds, but on Friday the parliamentarian ruled that portions of the bill would not meet the requirements that allow you to only get 50 votes rather than 60 votes on the bill. So they're going to have to pull portions out. He said he was going to move to Senator McConnell said he was moving to a motion to proceed on Tuesday after the Tuesday lunch. So
they want to just repeal it, and they're not going to replace it.
And our friend and regular correspondent, Sally, writes, while I'm right there with you on the subject of ticks, keep in mind that permethrin is highly toxic to fish and other animals that live in either salt water or fresh water. Permethrin is low in toxicity to birds, but some aerosol products made with permethrin may also contain other ingredients that can harm birds if they inhale it. Permethrin is also highly toxic to bees and other beneficial insects, a topic of great concern as bees of all kinds are in peril. So, if you wash your clothes treated with permethrin, the residue enters the water and has the potential to cause serious environmental harm. And that's from Sally.
Thank you for that information, Sally.
Isn't that interesting?
That's very interesting. Thank you, Sally.
Kelly and I argue about that all the time.
You do?
Yeah.
Which side are you on?
I'm on the side of no chemicals. And she said, well, we have to get rid of these things. And I said, right, but what else are they killing besides?
Bring opossums into your backyard and they'll get rid of them.
I have every critter in the world.
Oh, so do we.
Yeah.
We have a zoo.
Yeah, right. I got a zoo. But
more opossums means less ticks.
Yeah, no, I understand. I know... We have the Roundup discussion, you know, where you take the stuff and you...
That's terrible.
Yeah, and then...
You don't use Roundup, do you?
No, but I'm... I'm on your side.
I didn't mean to do it that way.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, but...
But your lovely wife disagrees.
No. It's a very interesting discussion, and I'm sure it goes on in virtually every household in America.
Because it's the balance between...
Personal protection.
Right. And not getting bit by a tick, and you know,
just
layer.
You don't need to.
And you can layer all you want. They can get into you. They can get inside your clothes. And
you're talking about ticks,
you.
and I agree, and right. that is of great concern. Although I will say that the stuff that you use in the garden though is for the weeds. It's for the grubs. It's for the Japanese beetles. It's for all that stuff. And that's where all of those chemicals come in, and that's what worries me. I just don't I don't like all that stuff. I worry about the birds, the wildlife, the dog, everyone get it. But that's, you know.
I'm with you on the Noah Roundup. And here we are.
Do we need a break or shall we?
No, you're fine. Okay, you're good. Thanks. We are up to date.
Jay says, Jared Kushner being allowed to speak privately and not under oath is sleazy. A disservice to the American people, especially those who vote. Our rights are being taken away because of slime balls like Kushner, who is only out for greed. He's no golden boy, just part of the president of the present day. Trump-induced swamp. Take Twitter away from the idiot in chief. He makes Nixon look like a national hero, Jay. And a lot of people talk about Nixon today. Religious conservative lawyer Jay Sekulow was added to Trump's legal team. Why? That lawyer has more in common philosophically with Vice President Pence than with any of Trump's immoral billionaire acolytes except Betsy DeVos. Wouldn't it be something if Sekulow ended up torpedoing Trump's legal game in order to advance Pence into the White House? Ooh, I don't see it. Peter says, I heard recently that if one is pardoned, one can no longer claim Fifth Amendment protection in that matter. That could be interesting. Peter in New Paltz. I don't know about that either. I'm not a lawyer and I don't know. Catherine says, it seems Trump is also paranoid. Any incursion against him, he regards as people just wanting to bring him down. Not unreasonably, I think. People do want to bring him down. And he is the reason they want to bring him down because he keeps, you know, putting himself in danger. Neil says, Scaramucci said that he hopes Spicer will make a lot of money after leaving office. Does that tell us something about Scaramucci's goal in taking the office? Scaramucci has a lot of money.
Yeah, I think he has.
He has a ton of money.
Money-wise. I think he's just power.
Good morning, panel. Nixon was the only president who came close to pardoning himself. It was suggested to him, says Susan, but he thought he would be that would be dishonorable and chose to step down instead. Thanks for being there, says Susan. And Martin says, at this point, if Trump were to resign with the understanding he would be pardoned by Pence, I would be fine with that. Anything to get rid of him and his family out there and return to some sort of normalcy. This country is going to tear itself apart. And that's from Marty. And I have to tell you, Marty, we're getting a lot of letters to the contrary. People who are saying it isn't worth it because at least Trump is out there, he's embarrassing himself, and you won't get that from Pence. I don't know. Mike says, I happen to agree with Libby. I think Bannon is running this whole distraction campaign, including telling Donald what to tweet. The Donald isn't smart enough to pull this off alone. Julia says, Bannon might be behind the Adam Schiff tweet insofar as it is clearly aimed at the base, and that's from Jules. And Kay says, Axios is reporting that Trump is thinking of Giuliani to replace Sessions.
Right, I just saw that.
Well, you know, in the beginning, right. He was very much, there was something was there that did not permit naming Giuliani to that post or any other. But boy, that would be something.
Well, Scaramucci comes out of the Giuliani camp. Yeah. So
I think that's a trial balloon. They're going to see how people respond to it because they had a trial balloon in December, and people said no. So I think they're just trying.
One more, but before I read it, I want to refer you to Gene Shalit's review of what was the name of the Gene Shalit reviewed a movie Ishtar.
Okay.
Which was regarded by many as the worst movie ever made.
Warren Beatty, Dustin Hoffman,
his line, which applies to present day politics, is Gene Shalit says Ishtar ish terrible. That's all. Okay, good morning, panel.
Good morning.
From Louise. Among the many things that have been concerning me since November 8th is how Trump would handle a major natural disaster in the U.S. or outside the U.S. for that matter. As he only cares about himself, will he make the best humanitarian decision to help people in crisis? It's very sad, but I don't see it, and thanks from Lou.
Well, first of all, they don't have a State Department infrastructure in place to adequately handle it. And second of all, they've cut funding and proposed to cut it even more deeply. So although humanitarian disasters are often dealt with in conjunction with the Defense Department, but it is troublesome. But that's why it's troublesome. You know, people say, oh, it might be petty to say, well, these two, the communications director and the press secretary, said opposite things. But when you're in these positions in the White House, you're sending a message, and it's not just a political message to support the politics of the president. It's to convey to the country and the world, you know, where you are on an issue, and words do matter. And so when you aren't in, you know, when you aren't coordinating your message on big or small things, it's very confusing and creates a problem.
In our last 3 minutes, I do want to bring up two stories that have nothing to do with Washington, D.C. One is the San Antonio human trafficking story, which is so really sad. Dreadful. This was a case where the death toll is now, I believe, 10. And a 10th person has been confirmed dead after immigrants were trapped inside a tractor trailer at a Walmart parking lot in San Antonio, Texas. Several people are still in critical condition at local hospitals. 8 immigrants were found dead inside the closed trailer just after midnight Saturday. More than 24 others, the only ones left of the estimated 100 who started the trip, were taken to area hospitals, many in serious to critical condition due to the extreme heat. And that extreme heat was indeed extreme. The driver of the vehicle was booked into federal jail in San Antonio for his alleged role in what U.S. Attorney Richard Durbin called an alien smuggling venture gone horribly wrong. The truck was parked at a back corner of the Walmart parking lot. At least on Saturday evening, the 8 immigrants are believed to have died as a result of heat exposure and asphyxiation, according to the state San Antonio Police Department, as well as the medical examiner's office.
You know, there are people online trashing the immigrants or the folks that were trying to get here, and that's really misplaced anger. I mean, the anger should be at the people who are facilitating human trafficking.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
And this is just another example of how humanity has looked at, how we're looking at humanity as just chattel.
Well, has Trump checked in on this one?
No, of course not.
That's very interesting, isn't it?
Yep. No, but he did ask some department to let
He would try to take political. He would try to take political advantage of it, saying, "See, I told you, this is what's going on. That's why we have to have a wall. That's why we have to make it tougher."
This isn't going to stop the wall.
Very interesting that he hasn't done that for some reason.
The wall wouldn't have stopped this.
Of course not.
You know,
or a lot of other things.
Right.
And then there's also the story that came out late last weekend, which we have not talked about Justine Diamond, an unarmed Australian woman killed last weekend by a Minneapolis police officer, who many say should not have been shot. This was a woman who called 911 and said that there was an sexual assault happening. Yes,
outside of her, where she was staying, outside of her apartment, behind a dumpster. And she called twice, and the second time they finally came, and she went downstairs to talk to the cops. And this one cop, one of them said they heard a loud noise. The other one shot her in the stomach, and she died. She was supposed to get married next month. I mean, this is an absolute tragedy. Police chief in Minneapolis has resigned because of this. I mean,
was asked to resign.
Yeah, there's going to be lots of ramifications for this. But what people are rightly saying is everyone is up in arms about this because the victim was white. Yeah. What about all the people of color who have been shot and killed by the police?
Right. But a couple of points that come out of this. One, very quickly, is that police can pretty much kill with impunity now.
Yeah.
And that they are not being held responsible. Now, there have been cases in which they are, but this is pretty outrageous. You know, you can buy into the whole issue of color and all the rest, and I guess that's all true. Nevertheless, the idea that a jury is going to hear from a cop, and the cop's going to say, "Well, I made a mistake. I thought she was reaching for something," and they're going to say, "Okay."
And they had body cameras, but they didn't have them on. Anyway, it's another tragic story that I at least wanted to address. We are out of time. My thanks to all who participated, including our 3 panelists. Libby, Teresa, Alan, thank you all. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe, and you've got a big interview coming up today.
We're going to talk to Joshua Green next, who is the author of the book Devil's Bargain about the relationship between Donald Trump and Steve Bannon. He will join us live right after news. We'll be right back.